Yeah, see, this is usually where I would do my yeah, but I'm just not feeling it.
I don't blame you.
I'm just not feeling it at all. I want to be enthusiastic.
Wear
I want to say that everything's okay. I'm a mess right now, and Chris piling on doesn't help. And I'm not going to yell at Raider Nation. I might yell at John Gruden a little bit, but I'm not going to yell it at Raider Nation. Al, what in the world's going on? I mean, two shutouts in three games? What are you supposed to say about that? What are you supposed to say about a team that is loaded with MVPs and all-stars and everything else, and they can't score a single run? What in the world?
Well, what do we break down when, you know, usually in sports we have things to break down. We have, you know,
right.
This what a great home run, what a great couple of shots, guys on second and third, and you find a way to bring a runner in, and usually kind of have some meat on the bone there to break down. This morning, you and I both looked at each other. It's like, all right, 1-0. A lot of wind.
Yeah, a lot of wind. Very windy. Yeah, very windy. Gavin Lux's ball should have left the ball. Look, the Giants got three hits and won the game. Let me say that again. The Giants had three hits and won the game. They just happened to have one that pierced through the wind. It was absolutely smoked by Longoria. Yep. They win the game 1-0. The Dodgers had five hits. They got three hits out of one spot in the order. Albert Pujols had two. Steven Souza had one. Beyond that, they had two hits total. Look, like you said, Al, we could come in here typically after a playoff loss and say, hey, Dave should have done this, or why did this guy throw to this base, or why did this person make this base running error, and how about this pitching change? No, not really. There's none of that when it's 1-0. There's none of that when you get five hits, and really none of them were hit all that hard. It never really felt like the Dodgers were threatening other than maybe very briefly once when they had a couple of guys on base. But even then, it didn't feel like they were getting ready to break the game open. There's not a lot to chew on about last night other than the Dodgers have put themselves in a position where there's no margin of error anymore. They are up against the wall again. Here, this is basically the Cardinal game all over again tonight. If the Dodgers win, it's going to be the Cardinal game all over again on Thursday night. Now, that'll be the same for the Giants. But, you know, as far as last night goes, they didn't hit. End of story.
Well, there are actually, I will say this, there are definitely, I mean, if you kind of look at, we'll spend a second here on the Giants because you had said something, I don't know how long ago, maybe a month ago, something along those lines, maybe even a little bit more than that, where you kind of just started talking about this could be fate for the Giants. This is just an unbelievable season. Nobody expected them to get this far. What do you mean they won 107 games in the regular season, six games, whatever the hell they won? They were expected to win 70-plus games. There was a really good article right before the Dodgers and the Giants started their series about, I think Vegas might fold. Vegas might fold. If Giants end up winning it,
I don't think it was quite that.
I think
it
they
was
might
exposure.
All. I think they might close up shop. I think they might all close up shops one by one.
They're already getting ready to set up a roadblock around the city so no one can get
Venetian,
in.
Venetian, Palazzo, Wynn, all of them. All of them will just shut down. But it's been a. When you said, you know, a while back, man, it just might be fate. And listen, Dodgers are down 2-1. You just take care of business at Dodger Stadium today. Now you're in a flip of a coin. Literally, you know, this is so much different than some of these. Like last season when it was against the Atlanta Braves and, you know, you were down 3-1, I think Dodger fans, a lot of them felt like, okay, no, we're still the better team. We're going to figure this thing out, and we got a chance to win it. I want to give the Giants some credit because you're right. You don't have to win a game 9-2 to get a W. You don't have to win a game 6-1. You don't have to. All you have to do is score one more run than the opposing team. And the Dodgers or the Giants, it might not look pretty. It might not be perfect. It might not be beautiful baseball. And a lot of times, actually, I would go against that and say it is actually really good baseball because
they played about as well as you could play last night. Defensively, they were great. They pitched great. They got the one big swing that they needed. You can't ask for much more than any of that.
But I say that because, you know, when you say look on paper. Look on paper. Look at these two squads on paper. Uh-huh. Why is this a series? Why did they win X amount of games? And I think the only thing I can explain or justify it, Trav, they believe they could beat the Dodgers. They believe that they are the best team in Major League Baseball, and the Dodgers got to obviously bounce back tonight, but that's what I take away from yesterday's loss.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Here's what I want to do. I want to hear from Dodger fans. I want to hear how you're feeling going into tonight's game, how you're feeling about where this series is, how you're feeling about the bats, how you're feeling about what the Dodgers should do on the mound tonight, how you're feeling about what the Dodgers should do in the batting order tonight. Do you have to get Gavin Lux into that order? We'll talk about all of those things on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the fact that for the first time in my memory, and I'm not saying it's never happened before, but I've watched a lot of Dodger baseball over the last 40 years or so, okay? A lot. I've never seen the wind blow like that before.
I know.
I've seen rain occasionally, not very often. Once in a blue moon, you'll get a cold night, but not very. I've never just seen howling winds. Like when you think of, and you may not be old enough to remember this, Al, when the Dodgers and Giants were playing back in the 80s and the early 90s, and they'd go up to Candlestick Park, it would always be windy, and there's trash swirling around and sticking up against the outfield wall, and just that dump of a ballpark, and you're just looking at it, what in the world is going on there? That was Dodger Stadium last night. Swirling winds, guys getting stuff in their eyes. Max Scherzer got blown off the rubber in the first inning last night. I mean, Max Scherzer is a big, strong, powerful guy, and the wind was blowing hard enough to move him off of the rubber. I've never, ever seen that. That should have been the first indication that, you know what, I don't like this. This, if you believe in the baseball gods or fate or karma or any of those things, that there was a, you know, gusting winds all night long at Dodger Stadium, that should have been your first indication that this was not L.A. Dodger weather.
Yeah, how weird was that? And I know that was a lot of the conversation. And Roberts talked about, I mean, just use Gavin Lux's ball that he hit at the end, Chris Taylor's ball that he hit earlier in the game. Use those two as examples. There's a very strong likelihood that both of those balls are probably out of the ballpark at worst. They're getting down, right? They're effective hits that are going to do something for a team that didn't score a run, put them in a position to potentially score a run. How awkward was that? I mean, everything just seemed a little bit off yesterday. And but I also don't want to do this. What I don't want to do is, you know, you don't want to make – both teams were playing the same environment, right?
Yeah.
So what you don't want to do is, and I say this because I cautiously, you don't want to make excuses for a squad that was playing. This wasn't the Houston Astros yesterday where they have an advantage because they're cheating, right? It was an environment that both teams had to deal with. And I do think you could say, you could make the case, Dodgers got the short end of that stick, and I'm using Gavin Lux's ball, or I could use Chris Taylor's ball. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the last thing you want to do if you're the Dodgers, all of a sudden start stacking up these excuses, because you do that for another 12 hours, Chav, the season's over.
Yeah, no, I don't. Again, I know that maybe this is semantics for me. It doesn't feel like an excuse. It's just an indication of incredibly bad luck. I hear what you're saying, that Longoria's ball went out. He got it through the wind, whatever. Gavin Lux's ball had an expected batting average of .890. Which, just take it at 89% of the time, a ball that's hit that hard to that part of the ballpark at that angle drops for a hit 89% of the time.
107 mile per hour line drive with a 22 degree launch angle.
89%.
And that hits the 890.
89%. 9 out of 10 times that ball is in the gap for a hit, and then 50% of the time that ball leaves the ballpark. Chris Taylor's 92% of the time that ball falls for a hit. It wasn't meant to be. And at some point, you hope that this stuff starts to turn, right? Because we talk about this all the time. With baseball, it is ultimately this stuff comes back to what it's supposed to be. It's that if you're really good, you're going to catch more breaks than if you're really bad. If you're really bad, you might have a night where you catch a couple of breaks, but more often than not, it's going to go against you. It seems like the Giants have caught every possible break, unless we just want to say, you know what, maybe they're not. Last night, balls hit into a, you know, a 90-100 mile an hour wind that's catching a break, but they pitched their, you know, what's off.
Yep.
They went out there.
Unbelievable defensive plays.
Oh my
gosh. Time moments.
Brandon
Crawford
is 150 years old and went up there like Spider-Man. He went 50 feet in the air to catch that line drive off of Mookie's bat. That ball was absolutely scorched. And there he goes. He's up. When he hit that, I literally jumped off the couch and said, all right, here we go. And then right into the glove. It's like, are you kidding? They could not catch a break. Ball hit up the middle. Guy makes a diving stop, throws him out of first base. We know the ball's hit to the wall from Lux and Taylor. Just there wasn't one moment where it felt like the Dodgers were catching a break. The baseball gods have not smiled on them at all. Now, we got another one tonight. You got another decision to make tonight.
Can I stop you for a second about the baseball gods? By the way, I love how this has become – it's all a religious show now. The baseball gods have
– Well, they're secular gods.
They've made their imprint inside the show. So I think, you know, this is something for me personally, all right? Because I've been with you and a lot of others when you talk about the Dodgers are just a better team. They're just a better team. I no longer will say that because even if the Dodgers come back and win this series 3-2, I don't know what more the San Francisco Giants can do to tell people on a continuous basis, no, we are a damn good team. You might not like how we win. Maybe it's not the sexiest style of baseball, but we win our way. I was using Trav, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier. You didn't have to like the San Antonio Spurs. You didn't have to like that they're throwing chest passes and Tim Duncan's banking the shot from 15 feet out, and everything is just so I don't know the way to put it here, but it was just so structured, right? Maybe structured. Yeah, fundamental is a perfect way to describe it. But I'm off of the – you know, we say the baseball gods this, the baseball gods that. You've played 3 games against the Giants. 2 of those games you didn't score a run. That's on you. You know, I as we sit here and try to come up with excuses and we talk about, like you were just saying, usually that ball is out by Gavin Lux. Well, don't wait until the bottom of the ninth with 2 outs to try to tie the game. I think there are a lot of this that you can sit back here and you could say, wow, what a game in game 2 where they put up 9 runs. How about you just put up 4 runs a game rather than 9 runs in, or 3 runs a game rather than 9 runs in one game?
This is what they've done all season long. The Dodgers have been hot cold all season. This is not a playoff thing. It's weird that the Giants seem to have their number a little bit better. Dodgers have been shut out by the Giants, including the playoffs, 3 times. The rest of Major League Baseball shut out the Dodgers 4 times. So the Giants have their number when it comes to that.
Yep.
Now, here's
yep.
some good news. The guy that they're going to run out there today, DeScalfani, has gotten ripped by the
Dodgers. Him and I have the same ERA.
He's pitched 27 innings against the Dodgers this year. He's given up 22 runs. So you would expect them to have a whole bunch of offense going tonight. Here's the question. Who do the Dodgers pitch? Who's in the lineup? Those are the questions that I want to get into next. Now, we already got people on hold. If you want to get in, talk about your feelings heading into this, do it right now. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Who's on the mound tonight? Dave Roberts still isn't telling us. We'll break it down next. It's Travis and Slee, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
0 runs. 0 runs in game 1. 0 runs in game 3. 9 runs in game 2. I guess if you're a believer in patterns, Al, tonight should be a pretty good night, that the Dodgers are going to get a whole bunch of runs tonight. That's exciting if you want to look at it that way.
From a math perspective, you probably don't win games 1 and 3 if you don't score a run.
Very difficult.
Throwing that part out there.
Very difficult to score 0 runs and win the game. The Giants had 3 hits. If you listen to Longoria after the game, if you listen to some of the other Giants players, Gabe Kapler had a quote too.
Yeah.
When Lux hit that ball, they thought, okay, it's a tie game. We're going to have to go into extra innings there. That they dodged a couple of bullets, but they put themselves – they got one of the hits that they needed to get it done.
By the way, the Lux piece of this, you know, we obviously haven't seen too much of him. Is this one of those games where your offense has been struggling at least in 2 of these 3 games? He's got to be out there tonight, right? Got to find a way to get Gavin Lux in.
Right-handed pitcher on the mound, so I would think probably, but the question's still the same. The question with Gavin Lux is the same question we had in game 1. It's the same question you had in the wild card game. Where do you play him? You know, where, because first base, you're actually getting a little production, and you're not going to play Pujols again today because it's a right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
But, you know, Beattie's been all right. Bellinger's been all right offensively. It's just what do you do? Where do you put him? I agree with you. You need to find somewhere to put him in the lineup, but who comes out?
He's just got to get, and I say this, you know, we talk about, and I would always go with the structure. I'll take defense over offense. I would. I think ultimately
in a game, and when you've been shut out 2 out of 3 times, well, you're looking
Let me finish. That I would take defense over offense in any predicament, any situation. You take NBA, NFL, baseball. The problem with the Dodgers is you have 2 of 3 games where you have not scored. That if you're going to roll the dice in a game and say, okay, we'll take our chances on the defensive side because we need offense, wouldn't it be tonight?
Yeah, I think he needs to be in there. Whether you stick him in center field or left field and slide somebody over,
can
to
you
center
imagine?
Field,
him,
I don't know. He's got to be out there.
Can you imagine him in center with yesterday's wind?
Oh, they couldn't do it yesterday. I mean, you have tornadoes circling
it
the
him.
Ballpark.
No. It would have helped him.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's very rare where you see major leaguers, like, tracking the ball into their glove every time. And every time that ball went up in the air, you could tell everybody was pretty locked in. Who pitches today? This is the question that Dave Roberts has to figure out.
Yeah,
okay?
Easy.
Okay.
I think it's Bueller, and I think there's a couple reasons for this. You yesterday had the luxury of getting 7 unbelievable innings from Max Scherzer.
He was great.
Trining came in 1 inning. Kenley came in. By the way, Kenley's just – it's
– whatever he's eating or lifting weights or the way he drives to the ballpark, whatever he's doing, make sure everyone else is doing it.
Dominating the mound. Okay, so you got a chance yesterday to go through a rotation where you didn't need to use up your bullpen. You still have Tony Gonsolin if you need him tonight as well. I think you start out the game with Walker Buehler, go as far as he can go, and then after that, all hands on deck. Gonsolin is there. You know Julio is going to be ready for Thursday, even though you're not paying attention to Thursday, but you're set up pretty damn well. If Julio gets that ball on Thursday up in San Francisco, I think you use Buehler tonight.
Yeah, and the off day gives you a bunch of options. If you can get to the off day, today is exactly like it was a week ago Wednesday, where everything is in play. Everybody that can pitch needs to be ready to pitch. I agree with you. I think that you go Buehler first. I think that Buehler is your first best option. And you literally, I mean, you have a next to zero tolerance policy when it comes to trouble. I'm not saying he's got to go 1-2-3 every inning, but the second you get even a whiff of him being off, just a whiff, right? Then you need to get somebody else moving and start thinking about going in a different direction, because you do not have time, especially with the way that the Dodgers have been swinging the bats. You don't know if you're going to get another 0 or 1 or 2, or maybe the big inning is coming. You just don't know. You cannot let this thing get away from you. You have to go quick to the pen.
So, Trav, when you say that, does that mean in the second inning,
yes,
he gives up a base hit and he gives up a walk, 2 on, nobody out? What do you do there? Okay, but what's – oh, yeah, you pull Buehler or you just have Gonsolin working?
You get somebody
going. Gonsolin's working,
I'm not saying you pull him, but first of all, depends on the hit. If it's a ground ball through the infield, that's not a big deal.
But if it's smoked,
if it's a ball hit into the alley and then you walk somebody, now all of a sudden he's letting you know that it ain't my day. Normally – you would say, all right, let's see what happens here. You know, a run's not going to decide the game, but a run could decide the game right now. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw 5, 6, 7 pitchers come out of that bullpen for the Dodgers tonight. Let's go to the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Covina and Eric. Eric, you're up first. You're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Well, okay, I will not get spiritual on this matter, so let's just call it the ghost from Candlestick Park came to Dodger Stadium last night. Because if you guys all remember the 70s with Tommy Lasorda, Lopes and all them, those wind gusts that were always swirling around, and it always seemed to go in the favor of the Giants. Come on. I mean, that shot that Lux hit last night, that reminded me of Jack Clark's homer to left field in the play, Game 5 of the playoffs, off of Tom Niedenbruch, who threw a pitch so hard that thing was gone in a second, and everybody knew it. And when I saw that ball go, it's like somebody had radar on it and just brought it back down right away. It was one of those things like, come on, don't tell me they brought this stuff from Candlestick Park. Don't tell me the eyes are not on the Dodgers to do well this season. Because, come on, the Dodgers this year, you're right, this is what they do. They sometimes, you know, they just pull it out at the end via dramatic style, via home runs, you know, stolen bases. And last night just really took the air. I was like, this doesn't happen to the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, and apparently to the Giants. Gosh, guys, this is really much of a somber mood, man, because, come on. I mean, now I'm looking down, and you guys mentioned something else. I like to see I want to see Buehler out there. Throw him out there. Hey, this is win or lose. We can't hold anything back now. Our backs are against the wall. Just go for it. And you know what? If we're in certain situations, let's surprise the hell out of them. Throw down some bunts. They're not going to be waiting for it. Everybody's so doing all this weird switching around the field, and they're staying back. All right, we'll dump it across. We'll get them around that
let's,
way.
Let's talk about some of this stuff, Eric. Thanks for the phone call.
Eric had a lot of layers there.
He did. I hear him, and in a vacuum, it makes sense that this idea of, hey, let's drop a few bunts down. Let's get some traffic on the bases. Let's see what can happen. And yeah, okay, he's not wrong. But what you're asking these guys to do is they've played, let's say, 162 plus 1 plus 3 makes 400. They played 166 games, okay, on top of however many games they played last year and the season before that and the season before that going back all the way. You're going to all of a sudden do something that you've never done before? It's one of these things. It's very difficult to all of a sudden say, we play baseball like this, and this is how we've done it every single day for years, and then tonight we're going to do it differently. That seems very unrealistic to me, that you're not going to go up there and see Justin Turner drag bunt because they're shifted on him. You're not going to go over there and see Mookie try to push one up to the first baseline because they're shifted. It just doesn't feel like that's what they're going to do.
Listen, I know this probably won't come off all that great. I don't think Dodger fans should panic. I really don't. And I say that just because, look, you've seen the Dodgers in this position. It's not to discredit how dangerous the Giants are, because they're incredibly dangerous. And, oh, by the way, they've already got wins against Buehler and Scherzer so far in this series, even though combined they've given up 4 runs. You can have – Trav, you and I are not sitting here saying to ourselves that the Dodgers cannot have one of those 5-6-run games tonight.
Sure,
they may very well have.
Sure.
And they may take this game to San Francisco. And, oh, by the way, does it not seem like no matter what happens between these two squads, it will come down to one final game in San Francisco?
Seems like it's supposed to, right?
It seems like it's supposed to, right? And it might be, you know, you'll probably have a 20-game winner for the Dodgers versus – somebody from the Giants who just came off of a game where he pitched 8 innings, and I don't know how many strikeouts he ended up having. Webb ended up having in that first game. 68 strikeout night. But it seems like it could very well come to this. The thing I'll just say with the Dodgers, man, you just don't want it to be any mind games. You don't want to come down to, you know, you start thinking psychologically, like you kind of start off the show with the baseball gods.
Yeah.
You don't want them to think by any stretch of the imagination that, it's just not meant to be.
It's hard not to think like that. You're right. You are 100% right. That is an unhealthy way to look at it. You couldn't be more right. My psychology right now is nowhere I want any of these players to be near. I am a mental wreck. Right now,
if you tried to go to the game, they would decline a press pass for you. Yeah.
No, you're not allowed in. I get it, but Al, it's hard not to look at this and think, hey, why is this? Why did we have Candlestick Park weather at Dodger Stadium last night? I've never seen it. I get it. Both teams had to play in it, but it sure seemed to kind of go against the Dodgers a little bit more. Let's try another one. Let's go to Pasadena this time. And Jesus, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey guys, so it's I really want to defend my Dodgers here a bit, because they actually had 13 hard hit balls last night, and it's to say that they didn't get the job done, they didn't. But I think we got to give more credit to the Giants' defense. When we take a look at the fourth inning, there was a hard hit ball that had an expected batting average of .500. Good defense. When we look at the sixth inning, Chris Taylor, an expected batting average of .920 with an exit velo of .107, line out.
Yep.
And then we obviously know the Mookie Betts one, the one that Crawford got. And so the Dodgers had opportunities, and they had great at-bats, made great hits, but the Giants played better defense.
I don't think, Jesus, appreciate you calling in. I don't think there's a Dodger fan out there who would disagree with this, Trav. And Dave Roberts said this a couple days ago when they didn't win the division, or a week ago or so. It's not that the Dodgers did not win the division. It's that the Giants took it. The Giants went out there and won it, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to use yesterday's game as an example to play off what Jesus said. It's not like the Giants are getting lucky, winning a game here or there. I wouldn't use the term luck.
No.
For the things they can control, they control. They if you're expecting the Giants to lose, it ain't going to happen. But if you want to go out there and beat the Giants, that's the best chance you have of beating them because they're not going to beat themselves. So to play off what Jesus said, man, he's right. There were four, five, six different times last night where you say, damn, these guys are flawless. These little things end up winning a game. And I know it's not every day you're going to see a game 1-0, which in a weird way is beautiful baseball. You just want to be on the other side of it.
Yeah, I'd like to have the one instead. I prefer the one to the zero. It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Here's the good news.
Yep.
Win tonight, and the baseball gods might smile on you on Thursday. Right? That if you go through this and do what you're supposed to do tonight. Get your hits, pitch well, play defense, do all the things. The manager pulls the right strings and all of the things where you we've talked about this so many times, Al, that I feel like I'm just losing my mind. The gap between these two teams is razor thin. It's mm-hmm. razor thin. So if the razor breaks your way tonight, now you just got to go into one game and have a really good night. I agree with what you said earlier. This does not feel like when the Dodgers were down 3-1 against the Braves last year, and I actually oddly, weirdly felt like they were in a halfway decent spot. Yeah, they can beat this team 3 times in a row. This doesn't quite feel like that, but that doesn't mean that they can't win the series. It doesn't mean that they can't win tonight.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that Walker Buehler can't go in there and pitch beautifully, or let's say he doesn't pitch beautifully. Tony Gonsolin comes in and pitches really. There are a lot of things that can break the Dodger way. But they need to swing the bats. They absolutely have to find a way to swing the bats. All right, let's put that aside for a second. We're going to take more of your phone calls coming up in just a little bit about that. But we need to talk about the Raiders and where they go from here, Al. We need to figure out exactly, are the Raiders still a playoff team? Does this thing absolutely sink their season? What happened with them dismissing John Gruden yesterday? We're going to do all of that coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. It seems to be generally assumed on Twitter, for whatever that's worth, that Walker Buehler is going to be the guy today, Al, that he's going to get the ball, and how long he goes, we'll see. It's such a weird deal on short rest, starting mm-hmm. pitchers. Some guys really do well on it, like Madison Bumgarner, legend because he's able to pitch on short rest for the Giants, right? And then there are some guys, Clayton Kershaw, who on short rest become far less than their best selves. So we don't know which one Walker Buehler is. I guess we'll find out today if, in fact, he does get that ball.
Yeah, Buehler, if I'm correct here, has not been in a predicament like this before, correct?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
okay.
We'll see. He may be one of those guys. He may be a guy like Curt Schilling or Randy Johnson who on 2 or 3 days rest says, yeah, let's go. I feel fine. Let's do this all over again. I mean, certainly possible. It's not. And if he is, Dodger, this is what's so weird about this. Last night felt mm-hmm. like a kick in the stomach, right? It just that everything that you were needed to break your way didn't. And every hit that you thought was going to drop didn't. And you got a great pitching performance. It still wasn't good enough. Could turn tonight. You win tonight. You're down to a one swing, one pitch, one call. And all of a sudden, now this is what's fun. I never even thought about it like this. I almost want that situation because that feels to me like a more advantageous spot for the Dodgers against this Giant team than it has against the other one. Because for whatever reason, when they play these games straight up, the Giants seem to catch them by a nose, just by a little bit. So maybe we do need a weird outcome in Game 5.
So real quick, what you said about Buehler. I do think he'll get the start. And like you said, the kind of the luxury, I guess you can say, that plays a part of this is you can put Tony Gonsolin if things are not going well because you've never had Walker Buehler on 3 days rest or whatever the case is since his last start. That's number one. The second thing is as well, you got pretty much your entire bullpen ready to go. So as many guys as you need, you'll be able to – you're kind of in that spot. And, oh, by the way, if you get to a Thursday – Julio's ready to go. So, Trav, to be honest with you, I wouldn't understand if Dave Roberts decided not to use Buehler to start off this game, I think that'd bring up a lot more questions than answers.
I think you're right. I think that's exactly the way to look at it, that going with Buehler makes the most sense. It eliminates the most questions, and maybe they can figure it out after that. All right, let's try a few more of these Dodger calls before we get to John Gruden and the Raiders. Let's go to Downey and Johan. Johan, you're on with Travis and Slay. What's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
So yesterday I was watching the game, and I couldn't believe that Dave Roberts let Austin Barnes pinch hit. I was like, please, any other guy, just not Barnes, please.
Yeah, it was a weird decision, but it didn't feel catastrophic to me in the moment. I he goes up there, he puts him in against Rodgers, then they take Rodgers out, then they bring in the left-hander, so you already had the right-hander in there. Using your catcher in a pinch-hitting role early in the game always feels kind of weird to me, but who are your other right-handed options at that point, right? If you're going to switch, you have Lux available, you have Bellinger available. Most of your options at that point are left-handed, left on left, so I don't know who you would have rather seen up there.
Well, T-Raj, also kind of point this out. Let's not hide also as well. It's not like Corey Seager is not having his best series. Trey Turner is not having his best series. As in, there are other guys that you're going to depend on that are the heart of your lineup that have been so good, so consistent for you. It's not one. If you try to isolate one person, it's not the right thing to do, because you have two games where you scored zero runs out of these three. That's not a one person problem. That's, you got a number of guys that have to, you know, obviously be hitting into either double plays or just flyouts or strikeouts, so it's not one individual.
No, it's not. It's the entire team got five hits last night, right? The entire team scored zero runs. The entire team scored zero runs in game one. It's not Cody Bellinger's batting a .160, nothing's happening. Oh, mm-hmm. Austin Barnes came out and had a weak app. The whole team, nobody scored. I know they hit a bunch of balls hard, but so what? At the end of the day, that's a big fat so what. You either score or you don't, and they did not. El Segundo is the next stop, and Ryan. Ryan, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. First off, big fan of the show, big fan of the station. Love listening to you guys. I think last week you guys were talking about Walker Buehler having nothing to prove, but I think this is actually where he does go out and prove it. This is elimination time, short rest time. This is time where if he wants to be that man, he wants to be that guy. Here's the ball, go out there, dominate for as long as you can, put us in the position to win. And then going back to what the previous caller was talking about with Lux, I think you got to have him in there. He's swung the bat too well. He's put up good plate appearances since he's been back up from the minors, and he's grinding out those at bats. I think the questions they have to answer are you going to start Chris Taylor versus AJ Pollock, and then Bellinger versus Beatty? But thanks, guys. Love the show. Love to hear your response. Thanks.
Appreciate it, man.
Ryan, thanks. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't hate the idea of having Gavin Lux in the lineup. The question is, where do you put him and who comes out? Maybe you put him in left field. That means that either Chris Taylor or AJ Pollock is out of the lineup. AJ Pollock did have a big double in game two. You know, Chris Taylor hit the ball hard last night. Which of those two guys come? Does Cody Bellinger stay on the bench, or does he go to first base? There's a whole bunch of moving parts there. I think, I put it to you this way, Al, I would be very surprised if Gavin Lux is not getting multiple at-bats tonight.
When you have a squad that, you know, I started saying it a little bit earlier, when you have a squad that has a total of zero runs in two of these three games, Trav, you might have to roll the dice a little bit. You might have to do things that you're not in a position to say, okay, well, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm discrediting defense. I'm not. I mean, the Giants won yesterday's game because they played defense, because their defense was unbelievable. If you want to point to one thing yesterday, the difference between the Dodgers and the Giants is big-time defensive plays was the difference of the game. But when you're not scoring runs, you might have to take that chance. And then if you have a 3-2 lead and you're going into the seventh inning, go make all your defensive moves that you want to make to try to close out the game.
Yeah, the other thing that he mentioned too about Walker Buehler doesn't have anything to prove, but he tonight's a night where he can prove it anyway. I think tonight's a night where if he goes out there and pitches the way that Walker Buehler can pitch, it just kind of adds to his legacy as one of those dudes. It adds to his legacy as the guy that took the ball in 163, the guy that's pitched in World Series games and won World Series games, the guy that is basically in his entire career had one clunker of a postseason appearance, and it was in his very first one ever. Since then, he's been like, if he can add another brick to that wall, it just makes his legend that much more impressive. I don't think there's anything left to prove.
let me say this. I mean, you can't say nothing left to prove. He's so young. There's plenty of things left to prove. Like there's and there's
what?
An ex-
what would you like to see him do that he hasn't done?
There is an expectation for Walker Buehler because he's so freaking good that it's not like, okay, well, whatever he's accomplished is just icing on the cake. No, you're that good. This is I get what you're saying about this game is not going to determine his legacy. I understand that. The guy is – he's ice cold. But I think there's also this – there's this, Buehler, we need you right now. Can you come through for us again with a – can I – let me use Scherzer as an example yesterday. How – I mean – What do you say about Max Scherzer yesterday? You cannot have a better performance than Max Scherzer yesterday.
Well,
you could. Yeah, you're right. You could.
Yeah, you could. It was great, but it wasn't great enough. Alex Wood gave up zero runs.
Can I say this then? Game one of this series, you could have had a better performance if you were Walker Buehler. You could.
Sure.
Right? Because
sure.
You lost 3-0. So technically, yes, you could. But that game last night from Scherzer, the guy has nothing left to prove, right? Like, he technically doesn't because he's 37 years old. Walker Buehler, yes, he's already accomplished so many great things. They need him tonight. They needed Scherzer last night. And
that's
kind of the thought process.
They absolutely need him. That's different. And the expectations are through the roof. That's because he's done all these things. But the phrase, Clayton Kershaw had something to prove going into last season. There's this big, fat question hanging over your entire existence of, dude, we know you've done everything there is to do except for this one thing. We need you to do the one thing. There's no one thing left with Walker.
I'd like to
see him do it over and over and over again for sure.
But that's going to be the expectation.
Yeah,
because he's so good. He's built that expectation for himself.
I think he'll pitch well tonight. If, in fact, he's the guy that gets the ball, I don't think he's going to give you 7 or 8 innings. But if he could give you 5 innings and give up a run or two,
sure.
I think that's a really, really good outing for him on short rest. All right, we're going to get to John Gruden coming up here in just a little bit. He, air quotes, resigned from the head coaching position of the Raiders yesterday.
10:55 for John Gruden.
Yeah, they resigned. That is the weakest resignation in the history of football. That's coming up, 10:55. But up next, it's Bunch of Funch, TaylorMade Edition. That's next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So tell me what you think about this, Al. On the days that Taylor is here and not Funch, we need to come up with a different name than Bunch of Funch. We can have Bunch of Funch when Funch is here, but we need a different title for when it's a Taylor day.
How about Tuesdays with Taylor?
But what if he's here on a Thursday?
Thursdays with Taylor.
Ooh, perfect. Creative. Very creative. What do you got for us, Taylor?
Okay, here we go. So I was actually at the game last night.
Nice.
And I took a friend who was a Giants fan.
Ugh!
So he experienced quite a bit of heckling in our left field seats. Granted, he was kind of bringing a little bit of it on. But
was he rocking? Is he wearing like a Giants jersey, or is he just hanging out?
Jersey, hat, whole thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's aggressive. That's aggressive.
So I got to ask, Travis Lee, have you ever been outnumbered in enemy territory, or have you been heckled for wearing the colors of the wrong team?
So I have worn the visiting team's colors before, but I wasn't outnumbered, as weird as that sounds.
Was this a Clippers-Lakers game?
No, I haven't done that. But what I have done is I've gone to Dodger games in San Diego. Okay, and there are more Dodger fans at Petco Park than there are Padre fans. So you're in enemy territory, technically, but I felt very comfortable knowing that I had 35,000 of my buddies with me inside of Petco Park.
All right, let me give you real enemy territory. Enemy territory is when I told you last time you go to try to park at a Chargers-Raiders game down at Qualcomm Stadium.
Right.
That's enemy territory, even though it's your own territory. Okay, that's one. The other one, this is arguably the best road experience I've ever been on, and I don't know if it will get topped. Lakers in Boston wearing the purple road Magic Johnson jersey.
That's great.
Right in the thick.
That's great. I love
right
that.
In the thick of the TD Waterhouse Garden, whatever the hell they call it. And that's a game that actually went into overtime. Kobe hit a shot over Ray Allen. Lakers won by one. You can imagine. You can imagine the celebration from there.
Yeah, I would imagine that jersey had a few beers on it by the time you got out of the building.
Can I tell you something? This actually, I think maybe – so it's a Magic jersey. I got a lot of compliments from Boston fans saying, hey, that's a cool jersey, which makes me think maybe there are a lot of people, if somebody's rocking a Larry Bird jersey at Staples Center, that would say, hey, that's a cool jersey.
I don't think so.
No, I think so.
Not a lot.
If they were rocking a Paul Pierce jersey, it would be a much different conversation.
Maybe. So here's my question to you, Taylor. If your instigator, troublemaking friend would have gotten into a scrap, are you going in there to help him or is he on his own?
He's on his own.
Yeah. Yep. Smart decision, bro. Smart decision. I would tell him I got to go to the concessions real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab a helmet nachos. Good luck with those nine guys. Good luck.
Okay, speaking of food, on the way back, we stopped and got some Mexican in Inglewood, and Mexican food's kind of been a hot-button issue on the show last week.
No issues.
We discussed Sleed's fruit order yesterday. But guys, I got to know, what's your taco truck order?
First of all, can I just say this? Jorge was also at the Dodger game yesterday, who put carne asada, I think, number 14 on his top list of meats.
Taco meats.
Ended up getting carne asada nachos. I'm like, well, you can't say something bad about carne asada and then go represent the carne asada culture. Okay, so a taco truck, Trav, agree with me on this or disagree. Very simple for me. Very simple. You and I have had this conversation before. They're always going to double tortilla. That's fantastic. Three tacos, perfect for me. Let's throw some carne asada. I might make two of those carne asada tacos, one of those chicken, which I know is not high on your list. No. I don't need much on there. Little cilantro, little bit of onions. I put my salsa on there as well. Usually the taco truck's not going to have avocado, so I'm good. We'll leave the avocado off. And then if they're going to do the – do you do the pineapple?
The al pastor you're talking about?
Do you know how they – oh, that's right. That is for the al pastor.
That's my
right.
too.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to stick with what I have there.
Why are you surprised that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to a taco truck? Like, why did that catch you by surprise?
You took it – Yeah, that was a very – Al, I got it from here, bud.
No, actually, your order is about the same thing that I get. I'm going to get the three tacos. I'm going to get a carne asada. I'm going to get a chicken, too. And then I'm going to ask the guy in the truck, you know, if you're going to get one that isn't these two, what would you get? And we're getting that on that third taco. Mm. I want to know what the truck specialty might be, so to speak. We're going to do a little lime, little cilantro, little onion, little green salsa probably. Maybe some radish on there too if they got the radishes.
I was
going to
say some spicy carrots. You doing the carrots?
Absolutely.
And
that's good too. And then I'm pulling that big bottle of Mexican Coke out of that crushed ice, and I am going to town. That is the go-to taco truck order.
No cucumber, though, Trev?
Now that I know, I've been missing out on the cucumbers, I'm going with cucumbers. Yes. What's next?
Okay, here we go. 61% of Americans said that they dressed up in costumes for Halloween last year during a pandemic, spending more than $8 billion on their festive outfits and decorations.
Sure. Wow.
Trav and Slee, when's the last time you dressed up for Halloween? And have Lady Slee and Mrs. Rogers ever asked you to have matching outfits?
Should I go first on this?
Sure. Yeah, go first. I've never done like the tandem costume with my wife. We've never gone as like Romeo and Juliet or one of those situations. We've never done that. I don't remember the last time that I've dressed up for Halloween, but I have done it. I've done it in the last 5 or 10 years, probably not every year, but I have a go-to Halloween costume that's a pair of like trucker overalls, and I have a foam hat. And I carry a bottle of Jack Daniels and Chew in the front pocket. So I'm kind of that guy, like a deranged trucker kind of deal. That's my go-to costume. But I haven't broken it out in a while.
All right. So definitely have not. And this is kind of a good thing here with Lady Slee, where it's you don't have to. She's not one. Hey, what are we doing for Halloween? You know, it's not one of those. Like, I think she'll probably be more opposed to that than I even would. Okay. That's number one. Second thing is I got to really kind of think back. The only thing I could think of, a costume that I wore like an idiot at San Diego State University, I thought, no, I'm going to wear a referee jersey and I'm going to be a ref. And I had a whistle. I think I had a fro too. The fro made no sense. None of it made sense. I want to say that's the last time I dressed up. It's been that long, Trav.
I don't know why, but you dressed as a referee seems entirely on brand for you.
Yeah,
that just seems oddly Alan Sliwa specific.
I'm not
the least bit surprised.
No, out of nowhere, I blew a whistle a couple times. You know, no, you can't do that. Not doing that here.
There you go. I could see you in the referee calling fouls on fellow partygoers and whatever it might be.
It's 11 o'clock. Let's shut it down, guys. Let's shut it down.
Always a good time to shut it down. All right. John Gruden is out, and, well, if you read these emails, it's been a very long time in coming. You'll hear me and Slee on this, plus Keyshawn had some really, really pointed comments as well. Those are all coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.